We're in the True Court. We are doing today a movie that we all love, Dark Knight. Joe John watched it for the first time.
Yes,
he's
sir.
On board now. We are here. We are pumped about it. I am super excited to dive into it and talk about it. It's been a crazy day for me. I showered this morning. I found soap in the bathroom, and I don't know whose soap it is, but it smells like Werther's Original. And so
are you sure it was soap?
I hope.
Are you sure it wasn't a very large Werther's?
It could have been a very large Werther's.
What if your mom wanted to, like, hide Easter shit for you?
And she was very sticky.
Yeah.
I mean, caramel fucking...
I'm not sticky, but I was lathering.
Oh, so you use it?
Oh, I did. I used it, yeah. Yeah.
So it's your soap.
It's my soap now. I don't know whose it was, but I didn't buy it.
Huh. Are you being serious? You found foreign soap in your fucking shower?
Hand to God.
I'm gonna go check this out.
What if it was like a shit? You just were like, this smells like Werther's.
I would be concerned because he got into a bunch of Werther's somewhere and I don't have any Werther's. I would love some Werther's.
I was gonna say, I'm gonna be concerned because you don't have any Werther's.
I know. There might be somewhere, but no.
In the shower.
In the shower? Yeah, there's a big one in the shower. But yeah, that soap, I loved it. I was in there. The other thing that pissed me off, the soap was awesome. The thing that pissed me off, the Bluetooth speaker was not working, so I couldn't have Shower Nightclub today.
I noticed the light was still on.
Oh, I forgot it was a Shower Nightclub.
Not the red one, the blue one.
Yeah, the blue one. I don't turn the red one on. For those of you who don't know, Shower Nightclub, you put some funky music on, get in the shower, turn the blue light on. It's a rocking good time, let me tell you.
Didn't you have other colored lights?
I did.
Or like something animated
lights,
like?
The string lights, the LED.
Oh, that's right.
But they
right.
didn't stick to the wall real good.
In the shower?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, and then you push a button and they would change colors.
Yeah, it's what
that
every,
was way too
every guy
much
did
fun.
That in their car in high school.
And I would turn it on. Put on some Daft Punk and just go for it.
Around the world.
That is one of them. Yeah.
Oh,
that one?
They're going to send us a cease and desist for that.
Do it.
What?
It's her singing.
Oh, okay. That one. And
that would mean that they would have to acknowledge my existence. And
yeah,
well,
yeah, they
turn me on.
They have to listen to this.
Yeah.
And if they are,
they do.
We are big fans. Big fans. Lose Yourself to Dance. That one. I love that one. And then Rock Lobster. By the B-52s. You want to get destructive in the shower? Put Rock Lobster on.
Okay.
Tell you that much.
What the fuck is Rock Lobster?
You know Rock Lobster.
Are you talking about like Party Like a Lob, Party Like a Lobster?
No. Nope.
No.
That's not that song.
Isn't it just
either.
Rock Lobster?
Is this the actual title of a song or are you fucking with me?
It is the actual title of a
rock
song.
Rock Lobster.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
Are they Maine?
Someone reached in and grabbed it. Was a rock lobster.
Wow, they were on
did
many psychedelics when they did that.
Yeah, Family Guy.
Okay.
Did that, yeah.
That's where I know it from. I didn't realize it was an actual song. I thought it was an actual song from Family Guy. All right, so we went from Dark Knight Rises
to
or Dark Knight. Dark Knight to yeah, no, to Rock
well,
Lobster.
Hey, it was a great shower session, even without music this morning. I was clean because I knew we were getting into the tree fort. We were gonna watch The Dark Knight. Fantastic movie. Rose, hit me with it. It's Philip.
Joe
PB,
John.
Philip Boughton, Joe John, Rose.
Murray.
Rose Murray.
Three forters in the tree fort today.
Three forts in a tree fort.
Three forters in the tree fort.
I actually had to watch the first Batman movie on my own before I came over.
He watched it.
So I've seen what two movies and one in Game of Thrones episode today.
Yeah.
I'm
so,
overstimulated.
So hit me with a rundown. What did you think of the first Batman, the Batman Begins movie?
Well,
just movie in a nutshell. You got 30 seconds. Go.
Of my opinion or what happened?
All of it.
All of it? Well,
30 seconds.
That's a lot of pressure.
25 seconds.
My opinion on it was, it was a pretty decent movie. I mean, I watched it like kind of as homework, so I was trying to get through it as quick as possible. It seemed like a movie that you have to get through to see the second movie. But that's also how you talked about it, so that's kind of what I was expecting.
Sure.
But it was a decent movie. I didn't know that Morgan Freeman and Liam Neeson were in there. So, Neeson. So I probably would have watched it a lot sooner if I knew that. 5 seconds.
Yeah. Done. Nailed it. Boom. Movie in a nutshell.
Give me 5 seconds back.
One sentence movie in a nutshell of Batman Begins is Batman is a ninja.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty sick. Trained by ninja. He had knight armor, and I was like, this is like Game of Thrones.
Knight armor. Oh, when he's like in the thing up in the mountains. Was that your asshole?
No, it was my stomach.
Like, we need to evacuate.
Three horns for explosive diarrhea.
Well, that's one. We should listen for two more. Yeah. For safety.
That is the tree fort watch signal. Three horns, explosive diarrhea.
Yeah. So that was my thought on Batman Begins. That's a really good way to wrap it up. It was really cool that they were ninjas. I didn't know Gotham was based more on Chicago.
Everybody was kung fu fighting in that show. And
in the DC universe, where does Gotham, like, is how far is it supposed to be from Metropolis?
Across.
What's Metropolis?
Or Superman's
whole city.
Okay. I think it's like across a river.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Like, but it's Superman, though he can fly, that's like that international air territory.
Close by, yeah.
Oh. Well, fuck.
He won't go over a river?
What? Not when Batman's there, dude. Would you? No.
Is he afraid of Batman?
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Rachel!
Rachel!
So I guess, as far as just the movie itself goes, yeah, you know, movie in 2 minutes. Tell me what you think about the one that we were here to watch.
All right, I'm not gonna have 2 minutes of content, so we're gonna need some chiming in here.
Like good or bad? You're not gonna have 2 minutes. Just talk. Just start talking.
I know. Well, I don't know if
tell
I
me
have
about it.
Words.
Tell me, what do you think about Christian Bale
as Batman? Okay. Yeah. I like him a lot as a character. The one thing, and I know we were making fun of it, and I know, I don't know if people like the movie for this or make fun of it, but I don't care for the Batman voice. I think it's...
So, I don't know if you heard me tell Matt earlier on, probably because you were close and you didn't hear, but that's like a common criticism is his voice, and everyone thinks that it's just Christian Bale being fucking nuts. But it was actually that he was talking normal in his, like, somewhat normal voice, and that Christopher Nolan, during editing, was like, no, make him sound, like, feral, basically. So it was at the director's discretion that they edited it to make it sound that way.
There's our first factoid. I don't even know if it sounds feral, though. It's just like, I don't know. It's kind of corny to me. But I still like the movie. I like the character. I'm trying to think. Yeah, what even happened in this movie? The Joker blew up the hospital.
So Batman is coming to the part of his vigilante career where he thinks he might be able to retire because this White Knight DA for Gotham seems like he's rounding up all the criminals and he's going to be able to do all the work the right way instead of having to fucking put boots to asses. And then everything gets fucked up by this maniac in a purple suit. And the Joker pretty much ruins Harvey Dent, the White Knight DA. And Rachel dies, thank God.
Right. And then, if we're still summarizing the movie, and then Harvey flips, right? And he tries to go after... Is that that guy's the DA that he was going after?
Yep.
Okay. And then the Batman beats the Joker. Does the Joker die on camera? I don't think so.
He hits him with the... I don't know what those are supposed to be called. And then he throws him off the building and then, like, batarangs him up. So he's going to be locked up, presumably. Okay.
Gotcha. Do they ever address that in the next one? No.
No. No, so they were very clear that they didn't want to address anything with the Joker. You know, that he doesn't
because
die.
Because of his death? Because of Heath Ledger's death?
Because of Heath Ledger, yeah. Yeah. So...
That's kind of weird that they would put out a whole movie like 6 months after he dies, but they won't even acknowledge it 4 years later in the next movie.
Probably because they wouldn't want to have to talk or like have people alluding to, oh, well, does that mean that he's gonna, someone's gonna reprise the role and like they're gonna have to, you know, fill in with a new.
I know, but they could have brought a demise to the character.
From my understanding, it was a respect issue that you just assumed that he was locked up in Arkham and
out of sight, out of mind, sort of thing.
Yeah. And then like, oh, well, you know, for those, you know, spoiler alert, you know, Bane takes over the city. Like, well, you know, Arkham people get out. Like, okay, maybe, but whatever.
That's kind of a disappointing answer.
Yeah, and also, I mean, if this were real life, those would be federal crimes, and there's a slow, like, a small chance that if Gotham had a prison, that the Joker would find himself in there.
Well, it just seems weird that they would literally put out a movie right after he died, like, without any, I don't know, maybe they hesitated, but without hesitation, but then 4 years later, they don't want to just say, like, oh yeah, he's dead now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying you have to do anything with his role, but at least, like, even in passing, just say something. They just
left it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
I mean, it is what it is. I'm disappointed to hear that.
I think the other thing with the summarization is that really the Joker's only aim is to get Batman to break his one rule to, like, not choose to kill someone.
Yeah, I didn't realize until, like, that part, how big of, like, a pivotal part of it was that he won't kill people. Like, I knew that was a thing, but, like, I didn't realize, like it was that important until that scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When the Batman was kicking the shit out of the Joker in the holding, in the interview room, whatever you want to fucking call it, at the police station, and he's like, you have no power over me, or, like, with all your strength, you hold no power over me, and it's, like, because you could kick the shit out of him, but you're never gonna kill him, so he's literally got nothing to lose. The Joker.
I'd kill him.
He won't. Which is why so those that love Batman, the Killing Joke is a, like, a comic, series, where Batman is going against the Joker. Joker kidnaps Barbara Gordon, and the, like, iconic scene of the comic is the ending, and it's, you know, he catches him, and they have, like, this moment, and they made it into a movie, and it's pretty interesting, but they have this moment where at the end, the Joker tells, or is kind of telling a story. They tell a joke, and they're both laughing, and as they're laughing, Batman kind of grabs at Joker's, like, his neck slash, like, his collar of his shirt, and so how it looks is you, like, assume that he was, like, strangling him, and so it's, like, one of those things, like, he finally broke his rule, like, the Killing Joke, so. And then
that's interesting.
Yeah, but the Dark Knight is, like, big, big influence from the Killing Joke. So, yeah.
So is the Dark Knight not based on its own comic at all?
I read that it was the Killing Joke as well as several other series within the Batman comic series.
Okay, because my next question:
Halloween, which is what forms Two-Face, and Killing Joke, yeah.
Because my next question was going to be what happened to the Joker in the comic book series to see if there was any finality. Okay.
And that's the whole point, is you don't know, like, is he strangling him, or are they just having a laugh together?
It just ends with that, the collar.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yes. Very.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Did we watch this movie because we wanted to do a movie that, like, more people have seen?
Yeah.
Because I thought that was a part.
We wanted to do a movie that was a big deal.
Everybody but me.
You've seen nothing, Joe John.
Oh, by the way, we dropped a second factoid. You did, about the comics.
I dropped it. Factoid. All right, so first category we're going to do here, favorite scene. There are a lot. You know, this is a big movie with a lot of important scenes. Joe John, as being someone who hasn't watched this 9 million times.
You unfortunate piece of shit.
Yeah. What would you say was your favorite scene in that movie?
I'm trying to think. I feel like I have a few that are up there. I feel like, obviously, the hospital exploding.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel like that's got to be the most popular answer, kind of like the what's in the box one for seven.
Just, like, because Heath Ledger's in a fucking nurse's uniform also. I feel like it adds points.
Well, that and, like, the delay and, like, what you said about the delay. Mm-hmm. Like, that was not planned, right?
Yeah.
That would be one. The other one I would say, it's not, like, a full scene. It's just kind of a quick snippet, is when he, basically trips the 18-wheeler. I will say, I had beef with that entire scene prior to that moment.
Well, let's hold on to that beef.
Are we doing beef today?
We're going to do beef because I forgot. I do have a little bit of beef.
I didn't think we were doing beef, so I wanted to get
to that. We'll do some beef.
Lawrence has beef. Yeah. So. With that in mind, my favorite scene is the hospital exploding.
Okay, hospital exploding. And it's funny because your favorite was What's in the Box with Seven because of the memes and the GIFs, and now I feel like it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's familiar to me.
Because you know these from the memes and the GIFs.
Yeah, because I haven't watched the movie, so I'm like, oh, it's like the Leonardo DiCaprio pointing at the TV meme from, what movie is that?
Once Upon a Time,
yeah, that's me. I'm like, oh, there it is.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Rose, what do you got?
Oh, I'm thinking.
You're thinking?
I think that from experiencing it, like, Rachel did see it. Right. Thank fucking God, that bitch. From seeing it in theaters, that same scene that you were just talking about, not the hospital scene, but the bat pod and the tripwires flipping the semi, and when he, like, basically runs the bat pod into a wall and it goes straight up the wall, flips back over, and then comes down, in theaters, the entire sold-out theater stood up and screamed and clapped during that. Like, so that was just a cinematic kind of experience for me, but I think, if I'm going off of, like, for, I guess, the symbolism, it would be the final scene where he is, like, where Harvey Dent tries to fucking kill Gordon and his son and his wife and whatever, and Batman is like, I'm gonna have to take fall because this guy who was, like, our white knight goes down, then, like, all of our hopes and dreams do, too, so I'll be, like, the hero that Gotham needs. I think that would be my favorite.
Okay. I like it. My favorite scene, I'm going to be selfish, and I'm going to say everything with Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Very selfish.
Everything with Ledger. I mean, it's whether it's the first mob meeting when they're in that, like, kitchen, like a restaurant kitchen, and he walks in and he does the magic trick. It's gone. Makes the pencil disappear. Or the interrogation room scene. I think the interrogation room from when he's in there with Gordon till the time he's got that other cop with the
switchblade.
Yeah, the switchblade, and he's, I just want my phone call. Like, I think that one's probably my number one, but just all of it, like, all of those lines are so iconic, and just for my personal experience, like, that is when I was in college, that is the movie that people were quoting, and it still holds up. You know, almost 20 years later?
15 years. Came out in 2008.
Yeah, almost. So, yeah, it's nuts. But, I'm going to say everything with Heath Ledger and him being the Joker is just phenomenal. So, RIP, he will be missed. Moving from favorite scenes, let's dive into the... Who do you identify with?
Who do you identify with?
Me?
Yes. Philip Boughton.
Philip Boughton. Who does Philip Boughton identify with?
If you want to think about it.
I need to think. Joe John.
I'm going to go... I'm thinking about it as I say it, but I'm going to go not Batman, not the Joker. I'm going to go with the DA. The guy that's
trying. See, that's what I said.
Oh, really? Did I steal that from you?
No, go ahead. Okay. Mine is, like, not maybe that I don't identify with him, but, like, his symbol.
Yeah, I feel like I always identify with, like, you had some, like, side characters that was funny in the previous ones, but definitely the DA, because he's, like, the one good guy trying to do the right thing. So I feel like I'm the hero in my own story.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I entirely disagree with you.
Really? Except I didn't do the right thing today. I didn't pay for the guy behind me in drive-thru when the person in front of me, yeah, on the way here.
I know someone that's done that?
Well, here's the context. I was at Dunkin' on the way here. I grabbed a coffee and a donut. Drive up. That's why I said I wanted a cold brew. They didn't have any. I was pissed.
That's why you didn't buy the other person's stuff.
No, no.
It's like, fuck everyone.
Yeah, no, because Duncan doesn't have my drink.
So I got a hot coffee and a donut. I pulled to the drive-thru. They said the person in front of you paid for you. So I look back. I look. It's this big old truck. It's big burly guy, his big burly wife next to him. And I'm like, no.
What if they got...
Really?
I'm going to find another way to pass this good deed on that is not going to cost me double
cost that matters.
It is to me.
It is now. You need to go to Wegmans and pay for someone's groceries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
As long as their groceries are a coffee and a donut.
No. No.
That's okay, Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
Yeah, so besides that, I'm a hero in my own story.
You're like Joffrey.
Oh, you're terrible. Don't say that. How dare you? But no, if I had to identify with anyone, it'd be the DA or Batman, because I feel like I would assume myself to be a good guy in the
Batman
story.
Batman would have bought those people food and drink.
Batman is a billionaire.
So?
Batman's not a billionaire. Bruce Wayne is a billionaire.
Money's fake.
I was kidding. Obviously. I didn't buy someone's fast food because there were two people in the car. You better have a good who you identify with.
I got a great one.
You just bought yourself a lot of time.
I was going to fucking say, like, Alfred.
I got a great one.
So that's who I would identify with. I'd say the DA. So Rosemary.
See,
I want to make sure it doesn't get taken.
I don't identify with the DA. But I don't identify with the DA, but I feel like he symbolizes society in general, where, like, most people have good intentions, but then they go down by tiny little misdeeds, like, that just, you know, pile on and pile on. They end up being complete fucking assholes. You know, just...
Would you say the DA was a complete fucking asshole?
No, but early on, so I mentioned to Matt at the end, I mean, obviously he was, and, like, I think that the in-between is that you see him at the beginning, he's this white knight, you see him at the end, he's this fucking villain that literally needs to be put down, and I feel like that is so much like society, but the thing DA, you don't miss... Yes!
He needs to be... Maybe I missed a lot of...
He's the fucking
and
subtitles.
And subtitles, so there's no excuse this time.
No, now I understand. So not the DA. That's not who I'm talking about.
Who are you talking about?
The guy he was going to kill his son.
That's the DA.
No.
No, Two-Face was going to
kill him. No, you're talking about James Commissioner Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon.
Oh, okay, redo your whole segment, man. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's really tough.
That's Jim Gordon. He's the head of major crimes, commissioner. He's the police commissioner.
So I heard DA. I thought it was him. So yeah, Jim Gordon, because he is a good guy, right?
Yes.
Like, through and through.
Yes.
He tries to do it by the book, tries to do the right thing. Kind of vanilla. I identify with that.
Okay.
Respectable.
You're very vanilla. You're as white as snow.
Jon Snow.
Jon Snow.
Snow White.
Yeah, so that's who I would identify with the most. That completely fell apart.
Would you ever have to fake your own death to devastate your own spouse?
Maybe I would identify more. Maybe I would identify more with the DA. You know, come back to me.
So I feel like, so Harvey Dent is like, you know, he seems good in the beginning. He's obviously, he has this, like, fall from grace. He becomes a fucking full-fledged villain. But I feel like that's probably, like, the worst of society. We're probably good at one point, and then they just make some bad decisions that get them into...
One thing happens.
No, it's not one thing. He literally starts being shady in the first scene that he's with Jim Gordon.
Rachel dies, and then he's...
Yeah.
Yeah, the catalyst that makes those little tiny mistakes, you know, misdeeds, misguided decisions into... You're a fucking serial murderer.
Yeah.
So I don't identify with him, but, like, I think that his
Was he a serial murderer?
He killed five people.
Did he murder serial?
That's what Jim Gordon was saying at the end. Like, you know, we can't just sweep this under the rug. He's killed five people. Two of them were cops.
Yeah, I was trying to just think of who he killed. I don't remember. I couldn't remember seeing it.
A driver that was driving Salvatore Moroni. Some of the cops that, or like the one of the guys that was involved in the kidnapping of Rachel that had Dawes on his like name tag. I don't know. There were like several along the way.
But. Okay. No, I'm gonna stay with Gordon as the one I identify with, but for all the reasons I explained when we were talking about the DA, because that's who I thought. That's who I was thinking of originally.
Gotcha.
So I'll stick to my guns.
And yours is Harvey Dent.
Yeah, I don't identify with him though.
What?
I don't identify with him as a character. I feel like I understand his story.
Mm-hmm.
If I wanted to kill someone, I would just straight up
The question shoot them. Wasn't whose story do you understand? It was who do you identify
so
with?
So
I identify
actually,
with literally no one.
That actually works perfectly because I say the Joker for me. Do I identify with a raving psychopath? No more than Kaylee does. But the Joker, the entire time he's trying, if you boil down what he's doing, he's trying to make a point that people at their core are shitty, right? Like, he said it multiple times, and I'm not a monster, I'm just ahead of the curve. I mean, that's his thing, is proving that when the chips are down, they'll turn. That's his thing.
Do you believe that about people?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We are the opposite.
Why?
See, I feel like the other thing in like the movie that I really like is that the two boats of like folks that are like, hey, someone's got to kill someone first, and then they don't. I think that that would happen in real society.
Not anymore.
I don't. Yeah. I don't.
Not. Yeah, you wouldn't, because you don't fucking pay for the burly-ass people in the truck behind
and
fucking donuts.
Different
stuff. You would be like, give me the fucking bun.
No, I was actually thinking about this, because one of the podcasts I listened to was posing like a similar predicament. It's one of those things where I think society benefits from bad actors. So, like, the context in which that I was, like, listening to it, they were talking about people doing, like it was a conspiracy theory podcast, so they were talking about conspiracies that proved to be true, and they were talking about the one about like doctors abducting babies and doing experiments on them with like nuclear radiation, and not like a living babies, like already dead, like stillborn or deceased.
Yeah,
they were body snatching. So they were talking about the moralness of using like bodies for science, and if you have body rights when you die. And I was just thinking about it as I was listening. It was one of those things where I'm like, I don't think it's a good thing to do, but I think it's furthered society.
That's how in New York City, when med schools first opened, that's literally how they learned anything, was by either digging up freshly dead bodies or like stealing them from morgues, because body rights weren't a thing and like no one would, legislation-wise, allow it to happen.
Yeah, so relating that back to the movie and the boats, I believe inherently most people on those boats would do the right thing and not pull the trigger, but I do think that there would be at least one bad actor that would do what needs to be done for the betterment of quote-unquote society, meaning that boat.
How would that better society?
It wouldn't better society, but it would keep them alive.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's why I did quote-unquote society. It's not bettering anything, but there's one bad actor that's doing something that saves everybody.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that just in the, I mean, this is going way deep into society right now, but I do think that that's the world that we live in now, and I would love for it not to be, but I think for the, who's the dude? The prisoner that gets the button,
throws it out the window.
He's in other stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. That's huge. And, like, yes, that proves the Joker's point wrong. And it would be awesome if more of that happened today. But I just don't see it. And, yes, I am a cynic. My name is Philip, and I am a cynic.
So we're kind of, like, in all three spots. You don't think anyone would do it. You think most people would do it.
See, I think that there are further things like down that rabbit hole. I think that if you're surrounded by other people that would see you do it, you wouldn't do it. It's like that society acts differently when they know they're being
robbed. That'd be like the guy that's like non-prisoners.
None of you want to get your hands on
me. Either, because the non-prisoners, you know, had, it was like all kinds of folks. But then even the boat of prisoners, they were any kinds of crimes, and the folks that like worked on the boat. So like the captain and the crew and like whatever else. But I think that anyone being watched in society, if it was the same thing that you're around other people, no one would do it.
Yes.
If you were alone, if like every person had the chance to like be alone with a detonator and like no one would know that it's you, I definitely think that one of those people.
That's like press the button for $10,000, but somebody somewhere in the world does.
And someone like runs over and they're like.
Yeah. So you think definitely someone would do it. You think people wouldn't do it. And I think that most people wouldn't do it, but there'd be one or two people that would. That would do it.
Yeah.
That could do it, that would do it.
Yeah.
Nice.
Interesting.
Any more factoids?
We learned a lot. We learned a lot about the truth like, today.
Right? I'm really trying to think of, like, any character that I really associate with, and I can't say any of them I do.
I don't know. I'm trying to get comfortable with that. I know. That's why I was struggling, too. I don't feel like... And it's a fictional movie, so maybe that's why, but, like, I don't really feel like I relate a lot to anybody in the movie.
Yeah.
Because it's good versus evil, and, like... Most people are more gray than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like even all the characters, they're, like, pretty fucking tainted.
Yeah.
I love it.
But we're here for discussion.
Yeah.
So let's talk.
Yeah.
Maybe out of all people, and I really hate to say this out loud, I identify with Rachel Dawes because I would find myself in a shitty situation with some guy that gets me thrown off a fucking roof. Like, not you, Tyler. All the men leading up to you, Tyler.
That we're aware of. No, I... that is... I'm proud of you for admitting that
you identify with
Rachel. Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
That was a pretty big moment.
But yeah, I just think that... the movie definitely, with Batman, it is like... The interesting point of it for me is how... The Joker understand, you know, why would I want to kill you? You complete me. Like, he understands that they're both on opposite sides and that they need each other. And as soon as they're done using you, they'll cast you out.
Like a leper.
Yeah. So. I like that. But, like, for those who watch The Dark Knight Rises, case in point.
Yeah. That's exactly what happens. And I think he says... The Joker also says at some point, like, they will eat each other or something.
What?
He says something like that in the same scene. And that I pointed out to Matt, I was like, that's foreshadowing for 3.
Somebody eat somebody?
No, they say, like, they will eat their young, or it's, like, they will eat themselves. Like, society.
Oh, yeah.
Like, basically, if left to their own devices, they will eat themselves.
Hmm. Nice.
Interessant. Yeah. So, yeah, who we identify with, I like that. I think we gained a lot of ground there, learned a lot about ourselves, and thought I already knew everything about you two. So.
Yeah, well, it was pretty rough when I did my whole thing on the wrong person. Yeah. I didn't know whose name was who. Names are hard for
movies. Names are tough, you know.
Well, like, for shows, you can, like, watch it and, like, figure it out. Like, I figured it out for Game of Thrones.
Words are hard.
When the chips are down, these civilized people will eat each other. You'll see. I'll show you.
Yeah.
Hmm. Kinky.
And maybe, maybe if he didn't die, he would have.
All right. Should we do favorite prop? Because I feel like that would be good for this movie.
Favorite prop. So... For this category, favorite prop, what we're talking about here is we stumble upon the set and we get to walk home with anything in this movie. So, with that being said, Jojon, what are you taking
away? Well, now that you preface it like that, I might need to think about it because thinking like real item.
Okay. Yeah, it's a real item. What would you want?
Oh, did you guys hear that?
Yeah, I did.
That was my whole spine.
So I'm not going to be that guy and take the Batmobile.
Okay.
As much as I want it. I'll leave it for the next guy. I will take the motorcycle.
Oh, now you're generous. Yeah. Now you're paying it forward.
Yeah. I told you in a different way. Yeah.
All right, then.
So I will take the motorcycle that he uses when the Batmobile...
Well, then that means you're going to be leaving the fucking Batmobile with three wheels.
Yeah.
Two wheels.
Because that comes out of
the Batmobile. I think it's a wheel.
Well, you're not going to tell me... Well, they're props. You're not going to tell me that's a different prop.
How rich do you think fucking Bruce Wayne is?
Apparently rich enough. I thought we established that.
Okay. I think he does have more than one, because one's sitting down there and it's tan.
Yeah. Rose, what are you taking?
The fucking sonar thing.
Oh, the cell phone creepy. Thing?
The Lucius Fox whole fucking screen.
Computer spy Why? Device.
Oh, just because I'm a nosy bitch and I want my own Real Housewives of Mount Morris. Just listening to my fucking bitchy ass cousins.
Okay.
You heard me.
All right. I would be taking the underground lair of Batman, where he goes...
The cement room.
Yeah, where he goes into the shipping container, and then it's an elevator, right. And he's down in there.
If you're taking all that, I'll take the Batmobile, too.
Fucking nobody said you had to not take
Well, I didn't...
He will not pay for a coffee and a donut, no, but he will leave a Batmobile for someone, yeah.
Out of the motorcycle.
And nobody's taking it, so...
Yeah, so now I'll take it.
There you go. Well, I've got the Batmobile because it's in the lair.
Your answer was not at all based on how you posed the question.
Why?
Because you said if you can go to the set of the movie and take one thing with you.
Uh-huh. I went into the lair and I took that with me. I mean, it's Philip Boutin's set now.
Also, for funsies, so maybe, like, the Joker's boot that you stomp on and a knife comes out just because,
I was going to say the pencil from the magic trick.
Yes.
You got to get it out.
Because I don't know where it went.
Just in his eyes.
His jacket with the grenades in it, just to pull that trick on people. Yeah. Yeah.
He made the pencil disappear.
What else would I take? I would take... Yeah, I mean, if it's something that needs to fit... If it's something that I can physically take, the Lambo.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
I don't know how to drive stick. I'm not going to fuck that up.
Well, all right then.
I think there's a little bit more to it than just that when it comes to driving a Lambo, too.
I don't know.
It's not that easy.
I don't know. I'll figure it out. Free Lambo.
All right. It just sits as a lawn ornament because no one can figure out how the fuck to drive it. And no one can get it into your driveway anyway because I fucking bottom out every time I come in.
Yeah. So I would need the underground lair to park the Lambo.
It's true.
I could just turn this house into an underground lair.
Yeah, that creepy cavern in your basement that I'm sure that there are bodies hidden into, we can finally dig that open.
We can do that.
You have a creepy cavern in your basement?
I do.
There's a part of his basement that is not accessible by the rest of the basement, but it is a basement.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's just, like, bricked over.
I haven't been down there in years. I don't remember that.
Yeah. You know the ring when the person climbs out of the well?
Yeah.
She's down there.
That's that.
Nice. Yeah.
At least I think that's what that is. So, anyhoozle. who's got the beef?
I'll say it because I was trying to say it with that one. My beef was just the whole scene when they were attacking the police, like... When the AD was in the back of that SWAT van and they were escorting him. That scene, it seemed oddly lacking, like, intensity. It just seemed it didn't seem as tense as it should have been. When they were, like, taking out the cop cars, he's shooting at the SWAT car, he pulls out the RPG and just shooting. It was, like, the scene itself was very linear because they were just in that one underground pathway. But it didn't seem as tense as it should have been. That's why I said the only thing that redeemed it for me was him tripping the 18-wheeler with his motorcycle afterwards. Yeah. I just thought that scene was super boring. My other beef was when Rachel falls off the tower at that party, or the Joker pushes her.
Rachel.
Oh, you said she was...
She's like, she's like how you would jump. I don't even know. Her like feet are just straight down.
She's not even trying.
You can just tell she's hooked up to something. It looks very low budget, that scene. So when I watched that, I was like, that was kind of whack.
And then Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, and then I felt the same. Like, that scene was just super anticlimactic when like it could have been a really intense scene when they were taking out those SWAT cars and stuff. I just felt like it wasn't as intense as it should have been.
I wonder if part of that is like jaded by how much more intense action movies have become in the 15 years since this movie came out.
Maybe, but you were saying that movie, like, that should have been like the climax when they were originally recording the movie. You said it was like about an hour 40 minutes, right? So that would have been like the climax.
When he blew up the major crimes unit and then he's in the cop car fleeing and he's got the head out the window.
Was that before that?
Yeah. So that's while they're taking him
to
major crimes. Because then once he goes to major crimes, that's when he blows the guy up with the cell phone and gets out.
Okay, well, that still would have been closer to the climax. That would have been...
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So it was just weird. It was kind of disappointing. Okay. Like, I thought it would be... Like, as I was watching it, I was like, it's weird that they're just like... They're just taking the cops out, and the cops are like, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Somebody do something. But, like, yeah, and then they, like...
Somebody call someone.
Yeah, there was just, like, it just wasn't a lot happening, considering, like, the fact that they're just ripping through these cars. I thought it was weird.
Yeah.
So that's my beef.
Dylan's beef.
Yeah. Just, like, the scene specifically, not the movie.
Rose, what's up with your beef?
Oh, you fucking know my beef.
Your beef.
I don't.
Your
beef.
My beef is... Deep. The fucking quote, the Harvey Dent, is like, the night is darkest before the dawn. No, it fucking scientifically is not. The night is darkest when the sun is farthest away from your physical location, like it's all the way around the other side of the fucking planet, over Japan or some shit. India, probably. And that would be, like, in the middle of the night. Like, China. I don't know, fucking midnight, fucking 2 in the morning. That's not right before the dawn. Fucking dawn's at, like, 6 a.m. Shit.
Shit.
And that quote has been reused so many times by so many ignorant people. I fucking can't.
It's always darkest. Florence and the Machine.
Yeah. That's a fucking lyric.
I googled it.
Yeah.
According to popular belief, darkness is especially deep before dawn. In reality, it depends on the moon and the lights of the city.
Fuck your fucking mother.
I know, that's such a lame answer. That's why I pause like that.
It depends if your eyes are open or shut. Oh, boom. Alright. My beef. Phillip's beef. My beef with the movie is how oblivious some people are. Two examples. First one, probably the most noticeable. When Harvey Dent is in his hospital bed and Nurse Joker sits down with the face mask and Harvey's just kind of looking at him like what sort of nurse service are you going to provide? And then he takes off the mask and is like, oh my God, it's the Joker. Like, you didn't see the gross hair, the black eyes, the white face paint, none of that stuff.
See,
like, I mean, hello, who did you think it was? So
just one either, especially ugly ass nurse.
Right, either the Gotham general nurses are just atrocious, or you know, maybe that one eye was really fucked up and he wasn't seeing stuff good. I don't know, but Harvey, get with the program. And then also at the parade, or parade, funeral, for the commissioner and the Joker and that schizo guy steal the color guard's clothes. And it's like, okay, so the other policemen don't realize that, A, hey, that's not my buddy that's in my celebratory police unit.
There's thousands of them.
The guy shooting the guns for the 21 gun salute, like, you don't recognize that those aren't the people.
Sometimes they're just assigned. It's not like a particular like squad.
Also, the guy's face is scarred to shit. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't realize that that's the Joker? Like, it's just, like, nobody's paying attention to anything. So, that's my beef. But
is it when they do the 21 gun salute and they shoot?
They do the first one, they do it, and then the second one, the Joker and the skits are turned.
What I was saying is it when they do the 21 gun salute that everyone shooting turns? Or is it just like the four guys on the end?
Yeah, they're all shooting, but they just turn.
But I mean, is it everyone that is doing the 21 turns and shoots?
No, they stay, and literally just the Joker and the schizo guy are the ones that turn.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's like, hey, where are you going? What are you doing? Yeah.
Also, you have like 16 guys with guns right next to you. Right. Put one in them.
Yeah.
He's right there.
And it's just like anarchy. Like,
unless they use blanks. I don't know if they use blanks for that. I don't think so.
Well, Commissioner Gordon got hit.
Yeah, exactly. So, well, he could have put a
who knows?
Sure. All right, so that was What's the Beef? What else we got?
Factoids.
Factoids. Hit me with them.
So I did just look up one because I noticed the Joker when he was doing the hospital scene in that little nurse uniform that he had a name tag on, not the like Dent for America one, but he had like an actual nurse's like name tag on. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, I wonder what name they put because I didn't recall seeing it. And it apparently was Nurse Hemming, and that was a nod to the costume designer who was Linda or Lindy Hemming. I can't remember.
Okay.
So this was part of what I read about. So I think that it was a common, I don't know if rumor would be the word, but I do remember hearing that after Heath Ledger had died that it was like a mixture of drugs, including like sleeping pills. And I think that it was rumored to have been because like the role, you know, was rough on his mental health and it was like hard to kind of take himself out of that character. But I recently just read this and it says Heath Ledger's sudden death from drug toxicity on January 22nd, 2008 prompted immediate speculation over the movie's state and Ledger's disposition prior to death. Soon after Ledger's death was announced, Warner Brothers issued a statement that verified that Ledger had finished all of his scenes in principal photography as well as post-production duties, thus making the Joker's final completed movie role. Rumors abounded that playing the intense role had taken its toll on Ledger's mental state, causing him to become depressed and take a wrong combination of drugs as a result. However, his family has since put such rumors to rest by stating that far from being depressed, he had a lot of fun playing the role. Ledger did suffer from insomnia throughout his life and would often take sleeping pills together with other prescription drugs. And then it says something that his sister has actually warned him about the night before his death. Unfortunately, the mix he took on that night proved to be a fatal combination. So I think that that's something that I definitely still thought that, you know, until I read this.
Right.
Yeah, I think I even said that when we were watching the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said that that was something that Jack Nicholson had stated before, that he had a rough time with his mental health during his portrayal of the Joker.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember reading that he warned Heath Ledger that the role is dark and easy to get lost in, to just make sure that, you know, he can pull himself out of it. So I think I remember like when this happened vividly, and it was like everyone's like, oh my God, like he just got lost in the role and he was off his rocker and blah 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 blah. So I guess it's good to hear that they've kind of came back and refuted that.
Was the movie release controversial with that, like if that was like the narrative?
No. I don't think so.
I think that people just thought that because they knew that the role was, that his portrayal was going to be dark, like before the movie even came out, because he passed in January and the movie came out in July. So.
Mm-hmm. I have a fun fact.
Go for it.
Two-Face, the Christopher Nolan's first choice for Two-Face, do you have a guess who it was? It wasn't Aaron Eckhart.
No idea.
It was Matt Damon.
Really?
Yeah, but there were scheduling conflicts because Matt Damon was working on Invictus.
Oh, shit. I wouldn't.
Ryan Felipe, Hugh Jackman, Mark Ruffalo, Liev Schreiber, and Josh Lucas were also considered.
Oh, I feel like I would like Ryan Philippa and
I only know who Mark Ruffalo is. Oh, Hugh
Jackman. Have you seen Cruel Intentions?
What do you think?
It's kind of a bigger one. I didn't see it until I was probably like 20, but he's in it. He was married to Reese Witherspoon for the longest time. They have a kid together.
Oh, okay.
Then I know who that is.
Yeah. No, I don't, but I know who Reese Witherspoon is.
But I feel like him or Liev Schreiber would have been interesting to see.
Liev Schreiber's Sabretooth.
He was just in that Spotlight movie I was telling you about.
He was in that Spotlight movie she was telling me about.
The Joker is loosely based on three rock stars.
So I know that.
Tom Waits.
Yes. So that's what. So I was just going to say that because that's the one Keith that I'm Richards. On.
Nope. Johnny Rotten, Iggy Pop, and Pete Doherty.
Right, that's what I had read as well. But if you watch, we'll have to post it to social media. So Tom Waits, he's the guy in Seven Psychopaths, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a, what, fucking late 70s, early 80s musician. Definitely, I think, was into some substances back in the day. And I think that there's a video clip of him on Letterman, like, has a cigarette lit on stage, and it's, like, burned out of nothing. Like, he's not even smoking it. He's got, like, bourbon with him. He's clearly, like, fucked up. And his voice is Heath Ledger's Joker. And I think that prior to reading what you just said, I had thought that that was his inspiration as well for the role. I mean, it's like identical, his mannerisms, the way he talks.
Yeah, Seven Psychopaths, he's the bunny rabbit guy.
While filming the chase scene with the Joker and the SWAT vans, one of the only 4 IMAX cameras in the world at that time was destroyed.
Factoid.
Do you know how much money he burnt? How much, like, cash that was? Like, obviously not real money, but yeah. How much it should have been. According to this, it says, which I think this is citing Esquire magazine, $6.3 billion.
Wow.
That's what $6.3 billion in cash would look like. First comic book movie to cross. Oh, so it's the first comic book movie to cross $1 billion mark worldwide.
Right.
Broke the record for reaching $500 million mark faster than any movie. After 45 days, broke the record for the largest opening weekend of all time,
$158.4 million. Heath Ledger posthumously won a total of 32 Best Actor in a Supporting Role awards for his work on the movie, including the quintuple Oscar, Golden Globe, BAFTA, SAG, and Critics' Choice Award. The only award for which he was nominated but didn't win were the Satellite Awards, which went to Michael Shannon for Revolutionary Road, and the London Films Critic Circle Award for Actor of the Year, which went to Mickey Rourke for The Wrestler in 2008. And then this just states that both of those actors actually went on to star or have a co-starring role in comic book movies. Michael Shannon is General Zod in Superman. Oh,
okay.
I did see also that this is, it said at the time, it's still Christopher Nolan's only sequel. Which I guess Batman, The Dark Knight Rises, if he did that one, would be another one. But I don't think he had another movie he's in a sequel off of.
Do you mean where there's multiple?
Yeah.
And it's not just a standalone film?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I didn't know that.
Maggie Gyllenhaal wasn't the only actress considered for Rachel Dawes.
Bitch.
Let's see. Other actresses included Rachel McAdams and Emily Blunt. The Joker's scars are inspired by a real person.
No.
Oh, yeah, you said this one when we were watching. The prosthetics, the licks that he did were because of the prosthetics that he had, and then it became a habit.
I did read a bunch about Aaron Eckhart, the actor that plays Harvey Dent, that he read a lot into, I think that there's a proper term for it now. I want to say it's dissociative identity disorder, but it's a lot what people think of, like, split personality disorder, but yeah. I think DID is, like, the proper diagnosis for it, as well as, like, what burn victims go through psychologically. He read a lot on those kind of mental health statuses. I'm trying to find the one that it was, like, Rory's first kiss that I was telling you, that they kept the movie under, like, a pseudonym while they were filming.
Oh, the truck flip was done for real.
Really?
Yeah.
In Chicago?
I don't know about that. Well, another filmmaker might have opted to recreate the moment with computers and models. Nolan wanted to do it for real on a real Chicago street.
Wow.
The task of putting it off fell to special effects supervisor Chris Corbold, who ran tests in a more isolated area to ensure the flip wouldn't harm any member of the crew or their neighborhood. While the tests were successful, the production was primed to film the stunt. It doesn't address if it was done in Chicago or not.
So this is, I think I had said before, so Lower Wacker Drive in Chicago was closed every night starting at 7 p.m. during the summer of 2007 to accommodate filming. And that is a major, major thoroughfare. The street was open during the day, however, and the several Batmobiles and tumblers were visible just on the other side of the barricades, covered only with sheets.
That's crazy. That is wild.
Because they do, it is like, you know, there's the highways that you see. It's like two-laned roads going in either direction with, like, you know, exit and entrance lanes. And then they'll sometimes put, like, extra construction equipment down there and just, like, put it off to the side and, like, cone it off or what have you.
Apparently, there's a city in Turkey called Batman, and they sued the movie because of that. The quote is, "There's only one Batman in the world, and the American producers use the name of our city without informing us." And I guess the suit didn't go over
well. I'm Batman.
Yeah. So it says Turkey. It ends with, needless to say, given that Batman is still as popular as ever, the lawsuit didn't go over well.
Damn.
Okay, well.
Interesting. Those are factoids.
Good factoids. So if I'm thinking about other people to be in the movie, would never replace Heath Ledger because that is probably my favorite movie role character of all time. But I've always thought Giovanni Ribisi would be a good Joker. And I know Joaquin Phoenix is doing it now. Just putting in my little two cents there.
I definitely think that the Joaquin Phoenix Joker shines completely yeah. on its own. And I almost think that to have him co-star with someone or, you know, bounce his character off of a villain or some sort of antagonist in that movie would detract from his role and, like, his portrayal of the Joker, which I think is amazing in its own right.
Lady Gaga is supposed to be Harlequin, so. I think.
Did the Joker in this not have a background on purpose because he didn't really have, like, a grand motive besides just, like, he was just a bad dude?
He doesn't have a character in the actual comic books. He's never actually had a backstory.
But and I don't know if he's just lying or not, but he mentioned, like, he sprinkled in little things, like, about...
He is lying.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, okay. Because the story changes every time. The first story was...
Well, the story of how he got his scars, but the people could be real.
Well, the first story was how he got his scars was from his dad going after his mom with a kitchen knife and gave him the... What do you call it? Is it a Cheshire? There's an actual term for it. And then the second one was, you know, his wife was depressed after getting into gambling debts and having her face fucked up by, you know, sharks, loan sharks, and him giving the scars to himself to make her feel so not alone, and then she despised him. So I think that, you know, it's part of his story that he doesn't want anyone to know his damage.
Yeah, I don't have anyone I'd recast for the movie. I guess besides Rachel, back to the original girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I know. Yeah. Katie Holmes. That's what you were going to say, so.
That's probably the only change.
Besides that, I feel like everyone...
Because Christian Bale, I think, nails it. Yeah. I remember at the time being like, he sucks as Batman, but as time has gone on, I definitely think he's probably the best one that we have. And I like to think of it as the best person for the role nails Bruce Wayne and Batman. And I think he does the best job at doing both. That Michael Keaton, Val Kilmer, George Clooney. I mean, George Clooney did a good Bruce, but a terrible Batman.
Didn't Ben Affleck do it more recently?
Ben Affleck did it recently. We don't have to talk
about that. Really? Was it bad?
Is
that the one that everyone hates?
That's, I haven't seen, the Robert fucking Pattinson Twilight kid did it too. What's his name?
Robert Pattinson.
That one was actually pretty good. That's the one that
came out last year, right?
Right, yeah. And that one, the whole film is, like, quite dark. Like, it's just, you're in a dark place watching it sort of thing, and I really liked it. I think that his portrayal was good. It was definitely less, like, action-packed Batman-y.
That's one thing I heard is it was just a ton of dialogue.
Right. But I liked the Val Kilmer ones, or the one. That's my favorite Batman out of all the Batman movies.
When did that
one
come out?
Oh, early 90s.
Five-ish,
probably. It's,
Needless to say, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. And it's, like, old school, like, Tim Burton sort of look and feel and colors and character and makeup and stuff. So Tommy Lee Jones is Two-Face in that, and, like, literally split face. It's, like, hot pink with almost, like, still, like, burn scars, but, like, these purple, like, zebra marks, and he's got crazy, like, mohawk on this one side, and he literally wears a suit that's, like, a regular suit on this side, and then it's, like, fucking lime green shit.
Yeah, I've seen the character.
Yeah.
And Jim Carrey is the Riddler. So, rating, 1 to 10. I'm giving this one a 9.7. This is one of the top five movies, in my opinion. And the only reason for the 0.3 is the, you know, the beef. I do think, like, I don't know why, but for some reason, like, and probably because I'm terrible with math, but in, like, numbers, but, like, the crimes, like, Lau, like, his role in it, like, it takes me a couple times to be like, oh yeah, that's what was going on. So 9.7, like I said, one of my top five movies. it is, if I think about my favorite characters, my favorite roles of all time, it is number one. So, yes, Heath Ledger, R.I.P.
Yeah, I mean, the acting was really good. I'm going to go 8.5, but it's because I think I'm watching the movie in a very different situation. Like, you even said it earlier when we were recording. Like, you have a moment in your, like, life associated with this movie.
Yeah.
When you were at college. Like, that's specifically what you mentioned a couple times. Like, at college, in the dorms, watching it, or something like that. For me,
when he died, I remember exactly, like, my computer... I know, I was at my desk and had Facebook, it popped up, and I was like, no way. And then I was watching a football game, I think, and
Yeah, I was 13 when he died. I just turned 13, so, I mean, I guess I should have been into, like, comic books and stuff, which I was, sort of at the time, but I don't remember him dying. I never even heard his name until, like, later on in life. So, like, that's what I mean. So, it is a good movie, besides the beef I mentioned, but, like, for me, I just watched it today for the first time on a random Saturday. You have a whole pivotal part of your life associated to the movie.
Yeah.
No, so, I still think it's a good movie. I think 8.5 is a fair rating.
We gotta put 10 Things I Hate About You on...
God, I hate you.
Why?
You're just... Can we not with the rom-coms?
It is such a good movie.
If you want to add a fucking Heath Ledger rom-com, can we do A Knight's Tale?
You can put that on there, too.
Oh, I just can't.
Put both of them on there.
That movie, there is so... It's going to take us years to even make a dent in that. But,
probably 200 movies.
And I'm probably going to be bald by the end of it, because I will have ripped out all of my fucking hair from the rom-coms.
First of all, there's not that many on there. And they're going to be great. You're going to enjoy them.
Anyway, yeah, so 8.5.
I digress.
8.5 is my rating.
Watching good movie. Shitty movies that you put on there.
Bro, I put like 4 movies on there, and they were movies that you would like anyway. Except for Interstellar, which is unarguably one of the best movies of all fucking time that you haven't even seen.
Well, what's your rating?
What's your rating?
My rating is also an 8.5.
Oh, wow.
8.5?
Yes.
Really?
Why and I do think, I think really the only thing that detracts from it is Maggie Gyllenhaal. Just God in heaven, why Katie Holmes?
She takes it 1.5.
Yes.
Besides that, no notes.
Yeah.
Katie Holmes, why have you brought this craziness upon us?
Is this Tom Cruise's fault?
Feel free to leave it in the comments, because we know you're listening.
Blink twice for yes.
Yeah, I do think it's a great movie. It's definitely one of my top, I would say, 10 or 15.
Okay. We should do that. A Rose top 10 movies.
Fucking Zero Dark Thirty. It's like any deeply patriotic fucking movie.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yes.
Cloverfield?
No.
Okay.
Though the one that was afterwards with John Goodman being a fucking creep, that was also good.
We had a girl in our high school we called Cloverfield.
Why, was she getting fucking blasted by aliens?
No, I think she was just like really tall. Isn't that not like a context? Isn't that not like a monster? Like Cloverfield that attacks? Yeah,
they're aliens.
Yeah, we just called her Cloverfield.
Because she's tall.
I didn't come up with it, dude. I just was a bully.
Okay, so an 8.5 from Rose. Maggie Gyllenhaal just ruined it for her. I can't wait until you get like a 9 or a 10 in there.
Interstellar, dude. Zero Dark Thirty.
Well, if they pop up, when they pop up, not if, they will. We will find out. Okay, so with that being said...
I think that's going to round it out today.
That's rounding it out today.
Rachel! Rachel!
Rachel, I appreciate you for blowing up.
R.I.P. to everyone that died within this movie.
R.I.P. to everybody who didn't make it through the movie.
In movie and real life.
Movie and real life. Yeah, exactly. We lost a lot of good men out there to trades, unruly fans. So I want to give a big shout out to you all for stopping by today. Thank you. We really appreciate it. Hit us up. Make sure you give it 5 stars. Give it a full listen. This is the outro, so of course you gave it a full listen. But be sure to catch next week, because what we've got coming for you is round one of Who Would Win Wednesday, the Fast Food Bracket Challenge. So what we did there, 32 food or fast food restaurants entered. One will make it out alive.
Who's it gonna be?
I don't know. We don't even know yet.
March Madness bracket style.
It's a bracket. We put them up. They're fighting it out. They're duking it out. It is pretty intense. I'm not gonna lie. Some of the episodes got heated. So give it a listen. Let us know. Hit us up with some comments. And we love you.
Next time you're in the Dunkin' drive-thru and someone behind you has not had their shit paid for in a while, maybe pay for their shit.
Pay it forward, because Joe John has not.
I'm paying it forward with this podcast.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Take care, Tree Fort. We love you. Peace.
Peace.
Tree Fort Gang is an Audio Boom original podcast. Edison is written by Eric Sprinkle and is produced and performed by Soul Shifters.